Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Ratchet Research. Dee Dee is making me do the intro. This is a podcast that looks at pop culture within historical context. I'm your host, Kat. You can reach me at xrecluse, or you can tell Dee Dee. Never mind. You can reach me at xrecluse, or email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com with comments about the show. One of those comments could be that Dee Dee should do the intro, but that's fine. I'm here with Dee Dee from the Black Girl Squee podcast and network. And this time our topic is erotica. So you can blame Dee Dee. No, I'm joking. You can blame me for the title of this this episode, which is called Black and Vanilla. It was funny at the time and it's still funny like a month later. Thank you.
To her.
Dee Dee's going to be like, I'm literally never letting you do the intro again.
No, I'm going to let you do it all the time. See what new spiteful stuff you can add to it.
Oh, so that's fair. Welcome back to Ratchet Research, where we clearly are a mess.
All the time.
So we should talk about like why we're actually talking about erotica. This was your idea.
Well, it was one of them.
Yeah, but it was the one I liked. Because it was the one I liked.
Yeah. So, why are we doing it? Because we read a lot of it. And, you know, some of it we like. Some of it gives us life. And some of it gives us gas. So, we just wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, maybe I should say, some of it gives me life. Some of it gives me gas. I get
ragey when I don't like it. I'm just like, ugh.
Ragey?
Yeah, I get ragey. Okay. I'm just like, why is this a thing?
Yeah. So, we wanted to talk about it, and we also wanted to get some input from listeners, because one of us was worried that we wouldn't be able to be comprehensive. And one of us was like, we can't be comprehensive about this broad-ass topic in 1 or 2 hours. But
I am a scholar. Okay. No, but seriously.
Are we really trying to be scholarly about smut, though?
Well, first of all, people actually do that. So some people can do that. That's a thing. But I think for me, like, when we were talking about it, I realized really quickly that at least for me, I have really limited taste and I don't have a whole bunch of time to read outside of work. And I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to read for work either. So I'm just not trying to read mostly. So it takes like a lot to like catch my interest and make me want to read when I could be like, you know, teaching or prepping or whatever. And it tends to be at this point, like a really small group of things. And I just didn't want to be like, oh, let's talk about, you know, erotica and smut in general. And then we're talking about like 3 books or something like that. So, and then our own tastes too, which are kind of similar.
Yes.
So I just thought it would be better to be broader.
Well, that inspired me to create this little smut survey. Had 3 questions, well, more than 3 questions, but, you know, 3 categories, that we asked folks to fill out, before we recorded. We got 3 responses, and, I will read them now. Our first response is from Inda Lauren, who co-hosts Black Girl Squee. Hey, Inda.
Hey.
The first question is, who were the first erotica authors you read, and do you still read them now? Why or why not? Inda says, the only erotica author I can say I've read recently is Rebecca Weatherspoon. Yes, we all love. I did read The Blue Light Corner years ago, which was probably my introduction to written erotica, unless you count V.C. Andrews.
How can you not? Isn't she literally like... Isn't she kind of like the bodice ripper? Aren't all of them? You know what? Never mind. I didn't say that. Cut that out.
Save it for later. And this says, I do still read Weatherspoon when I have access. I had to stop reading Andrews because she clearly had issues. I'd read more anthologies if I knew where to find them.
Yeah. Actually, anthologies would be great. Because mm-hmm. so many, like, I think so much of the good erotica is actually in short story form. Because I don't really want to read a whole long 200-page book. It's, like, it's not necessary.
Yeah, but the thing is, with most of these anthologies, you get the same problem that you get with, you know, regular, just standalone erotica novellas.
That's just, only right. Yeah.
Just really white. Our second question, who are your favorite erotica writers today? Are any of them women of color? And this says, I can't say I have any favorite since erotica isn't really a genre I actively seek out. As the answer to the first question says, though, I do like Rebecca Weatherspoon. Yes, she's a woman of color. She's yes, she black. Is. And she's also queer. So
yeah.
She does het and queer erotica. And
yeah.
It's really, really good.
It's really good.
Last question. What types of erotica do you enjoy best? This can be either published or fan fiction. As with anything I enjoy, I have to care about the characters. Some of the best erotica I've read was fan fiction by Black women, and they were excellent with character development.
Yeah.
Furthermore, they also had great plot development, not just hey, nice to meet you, then bow chicka bow wow.
That should have been our intro. Bow chicka wow wow. Why did we not think about that?
So many choices.
That can be the outro.
Okay. Seriously, give me my porn with a plot, please. Otherwise, it's boring. Point of clarification on that last answer. If you can take out the sex and still have a great story, that's what I like. The sex should be like chocolate chip sprinkles on ice cream.
Which is then poured on the woman. Exactly.
You.
What? This is an erotica episode. God.
At X Recluse. EXRECLUSE.
Hi.
Do you have any. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's totally spot on. Like, I feel like that's the thing too, is that there's a lot of erotica, like, whether it's fan fiction or pubbed, like, that I read and I'm just like, what is this? Like, there is no story here. Or the story is a story I literally have read or seen on TV or in movies before, and it just doesn't hold up and it's not interesting. So that part about plot is like super important.
So thank you, Inda, for your response. And our next response comes from a person named Nevia Lane. And she says
Nova?
I'm gonna do that one last.
Okay. Here we go.
She describes herself as a former author of erotica. And she answers the first question, who were the first erotica authors you read? And do you still read them now? She says, my first foray into the world of erotica as a reader was Anne Rice, writing as A.N. Rocklar. She cites the titles The Beauty Trilogy and Exit to Eden.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have some experience with those too, right?
Sadly.
After that, I read Anais Nin regularly, although Costas Mandalore in Delta of Venus may also have played into that. Watching that movie turned me on to read other works by Anais Nin. After that, I read all the erotica classics from Venus and Furs to even reading the Marquis de Sade. Do I read any of them now? No, not in the least.
Okay, girl.
Perhaps because I became a more feminist warrior of words. These old tropes and classics actually weren't very empowering to the woman protagonist, and definitely not the black woman. I had to find something better for my own sanity's sake. Yeah. I hear that. Mm-hmm. Who are your favorite erotica writers today? Are any of them women of color? She says, my favorite erotica writers are actually women of color, if not all. Bridget Midway, if I am feeling more of a BDSM slant. Nalini Singh for a sci-fi slant. Latrivia Nelson has one of the more robust catalogs. I was actually an author for the now defunct Beautiful Trouble Publishing. Well, not defunct. We've all migrated on, had personal issues, but they still get together on FB now and again for shenanigans. Mm. Okay. Shara Azad, Martika Carland, not POC, but she uses many multicultural heroines. So I've actually read some of her stuff. I didn't know she wasn't POC. Okay. You might know there might be, you know, there might be just too many to name. And last question, what types of erotica do you enjoy best, published or fan fiction? I started writing erotica because of something that is attributed to Toni Morrison, and it stuck with me. If there's a book you really want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, then you must write it. And I want to write for people like me, which is to say black people, curious people, demanding people, people who can't be faked, people who don't need to be patronized, people who have very, very high criteria. Oh, that's you.
Rude. That felt like a little bit strange.
Well, I don't want to be patronized either.
Right, yeah.
I don't mind all walks of erotica, but I usually stay away from dubious consent. Yes. Amen.
Clearly that meant a lot to us.
Yes. That being said, BDSM has to be well written to appreciate all of the nuances of it. There is more to it than the master-slave mentality and the 50 shades of crap. Yes, I misspelled it on purpose. The types of erotica I enjoy best are indeed with characters that look like me, talk like me, relate to me, or change me. But I will read them all no matter the color of the character. In the end, it is all about the story. You can have great characters, but if your story is bad, well, then it is merely great characters scrumping, or porn. But if there is a story, and I mean more that drives the story than Mr. X wants to stick his D in Miss Y, but she has issues, there has to be more to it than that. Perhaps it is a dominant who had the script flipped on him, and he is now the submissive. Either way, a good story, that is the only thing I ask from the author. So, you know, that's another thing. You don't read a lot about submissive men in these erotica stories.
So see, this is why this survey was a great idea. And my push that we should think broader is good, because I don't read a lot of BDSM. So I wouldn't know that. But now that, like, you said that, it actually makes a lot of sense. Because so much of, like, the, you know, erotica, or just, I feel like romance in general spends a lot of time sort of making, you know, men be like men. And so where do you fit, like, especially if you aren't, like, in the community, or you aren't thinking from a feminist lens, like, where do you fit men who want to be submissive in that framework? So that will make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you aren't in that community, but you still want to read some smut, and if you're vanilla, I mean, where do you go? Because it seems like there's a lot of BDSM fiction, DS overtones in a lot of this erotica, at least the stuff that's most popular lately, so. Oh. Anyways, but yeah, good questions. So, do you want to read the next one or?
Novas. So who were the first erotica authors you read? Do you still read them now? Why or why not? She says the first actual books I bought that were erotic reading were by Bridget Midway. She does a fair amount of light BDSM fiction featuring mixed race couples, mostly black women, white men. I don't read any of her stuff because I mostly got lost in fan fiction, which is all of us, right? I read a couple. I don't know if it's read or read. I hate that. I think as I read a couple of Shayla Black's work. She also writes BDSM. Okay, so apparently you were right. BDSM is just generally speaking really popular.
Oh my gosh, I just have to say one thing about Shayla Black. She
What?
is responsible for one of the most laugh out loud lines I've ever read
I'm
in a work of
listening.
fiction.
I'm listening.
Okay. And the line is, I'm fucking her ass and saving her life.
Why are people this way? If you could see my face right now, I'm like some version of a Patti LaBelle. I'm over a gif, like right now. I'm so angry. You gonna
I'm
be
sorry,
okay?
but whenever somebody brings her up, that's what I remember. Sorry, go ahead.
That's terrible. Please don't edit down how long you really laughed at that. It was so long. My God. Okay. Question two. Who are your favorite erotica writers today? Or any of the women of color? Bridget Midway is a black woman. Shayla is white. I'm not currently reading any erotica because I may be porned out at the moment. Look, that's a nice place to be honest. And then three, what types of erotica do you enjoy best? I guess in themes, I like BDSM and power play. For a quick fix, I usually head over to AO3 and troll my favorite fandoms to see if anyone is writing for the ship I like. Most of the characters I relate to in shows are black women, so most of my fan fiction picks feature black women. I dig het. I know that's boring. I like characters to explore each other's limits in sexual scenes. I like them to be vulnerable with each other. I like scenarios where they have to put their trust in their partner and their partner proves themselves worthy of that trust. Oh, that's really nice. I respect that too. I think that's, yeah, I think that like fits a lot of like what makes me like love a character as opposed to just like them. Like that thing about trust is. And because I know who this is, like I totally know at least one of the ships she's thinking of, and it totally fits that.
So, thank you everybody who responded to our survey. I don't know, do you want to try to run through the questions yourself and see how you would answer them or?
Oh, are we gonna do an interview?
Sure.
Yay!
Cat,
You're like, I'm so over you. Shut up.
tell me, who were the first erotica authors you read, and do you still read them now? Why or why not?
So I thought about this. So okay, so the immediate answer is the first erotica I read was also Anne Rice's under her pseudonym reading the Beauty series, which is a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. I mean, obviously, but it's all BDSM. And there's just this whole thing about like beauty being sold as a sex slave. It's honestly a hot mess. But I was 12. And I only remember that this was the first thing I read because I had been an Anne Rice fan for forever, and so I had read like all of her books at the time, and I was like, oh, what is this? You know, what is other stuff she's writing? Oh my, what is this? But
What's the pearls?
there is actually a pearl scene. Never mind.
Oh my
So,
God.
but at the time. You know, I was only 12, so I couldn't check it out of the library, obviously. But I kid you not, that summer, my local library got the self-serve, like, self-checkout machines. Mm-hmm. And they didn't put any parental controls on them. And so I sandwiched the first book of the beauty series in between two larger books by Anne Rice and checked them out and, like, ran home and read it. And that's how I read all three that summer. Mess. And it's such a mess. But it was so, like, at the time, it felt really, like, illicit and, like, naughty and, like, so more exciting. But when I was in college, I met someone else who'd read the series at around the same age. And we were like, you know, it actually really imprinted on us in really terrible ways. Because it's so, at least what I remember of the series, because I will not go back, it's so irresponsible. Which isn't a shock if you have read anything else by her. No shade of shade. So that was the first erotica I remember reading. But I also feel like I probably read some other erotica because I had an older cousin who was like, basically her house was like a hood library. And so I would go there and like borrow her copies of like Eric Jerome Dickey. She was the first person who gave me a Zane book. Like, so I know for a fact that like I probably read something else, but I just can't remember what it was. And chances mm-hmm. are she gave it to me. Thanks, Niche. So, and no, I don't read none of this stuff anymore. Right. None of these authors. Do you want to answer the question?
Fine. Let's see. What was the first? Lord, I don't. Okay. It may have been this anthology I read in college. Like, I read romance books. Like, I used to read romance, like your Danielle Steeles and stuff like that, mm-hmm. when I was, you know, still living at home. Mm-hmm. But I don't really count that as erotica.
Yeah.
You know, even though I would skip to the to the good fits. but when I was in college, I read this anthology called Black Erotica. And it's weird because one of the professors at my school was an editor on the anthology. Ooh, but cool. Yeah, so I read that, and I guess that was my first real, like, reading of erotica. And I look, you know, so I started looking for more anthologies like that. I couldn't find more Black anthologies, but I found other, you know, like best erotica writing of whatever year. And those are mostly white. And
I'm shocked.
Then, yeah. And then, do I read any of those folks now? No, I don't. Nah. So that was my I don't know if any of the people from the Black Erotica anthology are still publishing erotica, and I don't read any more of the white writers because I just got tired of reading about white folks. So that's my answer to the first one. So, Kat, who are your favorite erotica writers today, and are any of them women of color?
So yeah, I guess I'm gonna like echo Inda and say that I love Rebecca Weatherspoon. And so I guess besides her, then I don't have any favorite authors. I have like just random books that I've read that I'm like, oh, I like this, I like that. So I love Alicia Rye's, what is that book? Serving Pleasure. Is that which one it is?
Yes.
Oh, that's so good.
It is good.
And that, I think that was it, because I remember when I found out about it, I sent it to you and then you read it. But that was that the first self-pubbed book that was on like the New York Times best-selling list or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Something like that. That's why I saw it. That's why it was on some list, and it was the first self-pubbed book to be there, is I think what it was. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out, because I had heard of the author. Oh, that's a lie. I had heard of the author and I'd read the first book in that series and I didn't like it. But that second book, man, like, amazing. And then I've read... Yes. Is that what it was?
You were right. Serving Pleasure was the first self-published book to make the Washington Post's best of books list.
Oh, okay. So good. Highly recommend that. Yes. I had like a moment maybe last summer with Latrivia Nelson, who, how do you say her name? Nevaeh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That she talked about. She has this... I think she's a self-pubbed author, and she has this series on like these Russian mobsters or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read like all of that, and I don't know if I call her my favorite author, but I think she can create like a good world, you know, that the sex fits nicely in, because it's, you know, whatever. Kit Rocha, who I'm obsessed with right now. like, totally. I really like them. And everyone except Kit Rocha is a woman of color.
Okay. Let's see. Who do I read today? I still read a couple of, like, there's some authors that I still read, even though they're not women of color. You know, just when you're in a pinch and you need something to read. I read Charlotte Stein. I think she's either British or Australian. Kate Pierce, she's British. Yeah, but I don't enjoy their stuff as much these days. I used to read Sylvia Day. But that Crossfire series is not my cup of tea. It's supposed to be the anti 50 Shades of Grey, but that lead couple is just as messy and codependent as anything you'd want to read. Yeah, it's bad. Like, I read Alicia Ray. There's a couple of books. Like, there's one called There's Serving Pleasure, and there's, what's the other one?
The one before that?
What's the other one with the sister and with the, yeah.
I honestly, Glutton for Pleasure.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
But I think that's personal, because I don't actually tend to like poly relationships, or I'm harder on them. Like, I feel like they have to be written in a way that I like them. And I should tell you, the two dudes in that relationship are twin brothers. That is not for me.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, that's the way I think erotic writers write some triads, in order to, so that readers will know that it's, you know, all, there's not going to be any, you know, gay action.
Hold on. My headphone fell out at gay action. I was so angry.
Sorry.
But if I am reading, no, I'm about to be on a soapbox. If I am reading a poly relationship, everyone in that relationship better be fucking everybody else. Period. Thank you. Katrina Jackson, book 5. But you know what I mean? It's like, this isn't like a critique on Alicia in general, but you're right. Like, that's how they protect that relationship, so that it's totally het. And I'm like, I don't want that, you know? If it's, yeah, I don't want it.
Yeah, Alicia's not the only one that does that. Charlotte Stein does that too. I mean, a lot of people do that, and they'll actually put it on their Amazon page, like, "Don't worry, this is all about the girl." I'm like,
Although, I don't know if
that's
I've
not the way
told
to
you
sell it.
this. When I was, I think right after I read Glutton for Pleasure, or maybe right before, I was reading the Amazon reviews, and someone literally had to say, "Don't worry, they're brothers, but they don't have sex." And I was like, "Are you telling me there are other stories where they would have? The hell?"
Hello, have you seen the Supernatural fandom?
No, I don't know her.
Okay. All right.
I
I can't read.
can't read suddenly right now. But Kit Rocha has this book in their Beyond series. So each book is like based off of a not I don't want to say a couple, a relationship. And the my favorite book in their series is literally A Woman and Two Men. And I like the book, but I knew I loved it when the two dudes were fucking. I was like, bring it up. It's mine. Got it. I was like a chef kissing my fingers, like, this that
Magnifique. So,
Sorry, I interrupted your answer to that question, but I feel
no,
very strongly
I
about
forgot
that.
my train of is let's move on.
I feel very strongly about that gay shit. Thank you.
Yeah. We're all for the gay shit here at
That
Wretched Research.
would have been a really good alternative title.
Yes. The gay
The gay shit is welcome here.
Yes. But yes, I also read and enjoy Rebecca Witherspoon and Alicia Rye, some of her books. Let's see. And those are women of color. And for the last question, Kat, what types of erotica do you enjoy best? Either published or fan fiction?
Yeah, I want to agree with Inda in that plot driven is the thing. And I want to like call out two women who don't write anymore, and it really breaks my heart because they hands down wrote some of the best stories, romance, smut, period, that I've ever read. And it breaks my heart that they aren't writing anymore and aren't going to publish. And Dee Dee, you know them, but Angel and Regina. Best writers. So there were two women who I found on the Chamber, which I was going to call defunct, but it actually still exists.
Yes.
But it looks different. But they were two of the founders of the Chamber, which was a website for Black women or women. I don't know if it was just Black women. I guess women of color based fiction or something like that. I don't really know. I don't remember how to describe it.
It,
You can
there, there was a lot of fan fiction
Yeah.
that featured Black women or other women of color characters. There were people creating original fiction like Raina. She's not gonna write anymore.
Yeah, Angel and Regina don't. I pester Angel a lot. I mean, I don't see Regina doing it, but I pester Angel every now and then. But even her, I'm kind of like they had, I don't know. It just sucks because I think they got like this really wonderful balance between, like Inda said, plot and sex. And they created original characters and they wrote fan fiction that just drew you in. And if they were creating their own world, like they did so really well, the writing was of like such a an amazingly high caliber. Yeah, I think so. I think the thing that kind of always got me about their stories is that they could manage to write characters who felt real and had realistic reactions. So I really hate when I read romance and smut and someone's like, and then he got me fired and I realized that, you know, he just loved me. He just wanted the best for me. Or I'm angry for a day, but tomorrow I'll be okay, unemployed and probably homeless in a week or whatever. Like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, I really hate some of the like character tropes, but also just the characterization in general that you can read in romance and erotica, which is why I don't tend to read a lot of white authors in that respect, because I think they do it, I'd argue, the most and the worst. I said that. And I don't like weak female characters, which isn't to say that they have to be characters who are like incredibly strong, but I don't like women who don't fight for themselves. Like, I can't handle that.
Or think critically.
Yeah. I mean, just in general, like I'm not about it. I don't like aggressive men who are aggressive. I do like aggressive men, male characters, but they're not oblivious. So, you know, the kind of like stories you can get where it's like, you know, he just manhandles this woman throughout this entire book and I'm supposed to be attracted to that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that at all, which is, I think, probably why I end up reading a lot of good BDSM, because they're like really careful of boundaries. And what else? I don't like characters who don't have like a life outside of that relationship. it's just weird. It just annoys me. And I almost will never read any book, but certainly not erotica, that doesn't have a woman of color lead. Just won't do it. Don't care. Not happening.
Could be amazing. Amen.
Never gonna read.
Amen. It. let's see. What types do I enjoy best? I would have to co-sign with a lot of the stuff that you said. I'm just remembering this series that Regina wrote. I think it was with all of these dudes from the same family.
Yep.
And they all ended up dating and marrying black women.
They did.
Oh God, that was such a great series. I was like, really? This shit needs to be published so I can buy it. And then, you know, it's not on the chamber anymore. And
and they were really great. I'm trying to remember their last name because that's what the series was it was named after, but I can't remember right now. But they were like really great self-contained romance novels with a good amount of sex. My God. If that
and
is
they were beautiful. Funny too. Like so the characters funny. Are so funny. Yep. Like they used to have these football games where the whole family would play and they would always get out of control. And the football games always got out of control because the guys just couldn't control themselves and they get way too worked up over a simple family football game. But
and then their love interests would fuck out the aggression.
Good times. Good times. So oh, good. Man.
And that's, Angel, you know, had the series with the like international like hitmen with like hearts of gold or something. Oh. Such great. Sorry, go ahead.
Good times, man. The chamber was good times. And some folks on there, you know, they would kind of workshop their pieces on the chamber and then end up eventually publishing on Kindle, like Sienna Minks.
Yeah,
I'm fairly sure she started out on the chamber.
Too. I at least remember like encountering her there.
Yeah, I remember some of her stories. So, oh man, good times. So, I like stuff like that where, you know, it's everything's well-rounded and they have bomb sex on top of it. I mean, that's good. And there's black women getting loved on. That's my jam. after you've read good fiction like that, you really don't want to go back to the other stuff. So that's a kind of
go ahead.
I mean, I was just wrapping up, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I like. I'm not into the whole alpha male, dominant male thing. That doesn't, because it just doesn't seem realistic when most of the straight men out there could not find the clitoris with a flashlight. And are notoriously really bad in bed, but
I'm just imagining how when you publish this, I'm going to quote you, but with that emoji of the like head yelling.
I know that it started here. It takes me out of the story. They're making all these demands and expectations, and I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's not realistic to me. That's the stuff I tend to stay away from. Also, the dubious consent, I don't fuck with any. No, it's got to be full verbal written consent, write a contract, whatever.
Relatedly, I need all of that. That's why I also tend to like erotica written by women who like know what the hell consent is, because there are a whole bunch of authors who like you can tell by the way they write they do not understand consent. Like, it just kills me every time. It's like, nope, this seems, which is also why I tend not to read a lot of fan fiction anymore too, because you got like a whole bunch of like authors who have really terrible ideas about consent or don't understand it, and so they end up doing stuff and they'll tag it as dubious consent, but I bet you they don't understand why it's dubious, right? Because like when people call them out on that, they'll be like, no, like whatever. And I'm just, for me, that's a mood killer. Like, I stopped watching Shadowhunters partially because of a dubious consent situation. I'm just not interested.
And I'm like, or they'll do something like non-consensual consent. I'm like, what the fuck that's is that thing.
That is not a thing. Oh, God.
This is what happens sometimes in fan fiction when folks start writing about things they don't know shit about for clicks and notes and comments. Amen. And they're just really irresponsible about it. And if you're coming from a place where you're not getting sex ed in the school or at the home, and you're reading fan fiction and erotica and stuff just to actually kind of learn some things,
which is,
I mean, it's yeah. So yeah, fuck all that.
Yeah. I also think the question about it can be, cause part of the question was it could be like published or self-published or whatever, or fan fiction. Mm-hmm. I actually prefer self-pubbed over anything coming out of the press, because it tends to be more diverse. There tend to actually be writers of color, and they tend to take risks with storytelling that don't fly off the handle. You know what I mean? So they're like plots that maybe you couldn't get published through a press because it seems like, really, someone's going to read that? Rebecca's...
Her Sugar Baby series.
Well, actually, all of them, then, I guess. But I was saying her Fit series, which is about all the sex that revolves around a gym. I don't know if I've seen anything like that coming out of a press, but I love that series, and the third book in particular, I feel like I would never be able to buy that from a press. So I tend to prefer self-pubbed erotica.
Now that you think about it, I totally agree that you're going to get more diversity in self-published work because there's too many gatekeepers at publishing houses these days. And they tend to kick out all of the diversity. Like when they're still asking whether diversity hampers writing.
Oh God.
Yeah, they've got the idea all fucked up. So
yeah. Or even like the sort of narrative coming out about diversity is that it's either these really fetishistic stories about people of color, yeah, or they're interracial stories, but it's automatically a person of color and a white person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, I read that, you know, too, mostly Black women, white men, because that's actually where most of the publishing is, but, or even self-pub. But part of the reason I loved the Fit series is because I think two of the couples in that series are just PLC and POC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. And that is so hard to get. So yeah, I think you're right that like the gatekeepers of that like really do shape the kind of stories you get. And I don't really want that. Like I'd rather, even if it's not terribly well written, I'd rather get a more interesting story from someone self-pubbing on Amazon than a better written, edited story that I could have read when I was 12 or 10 years ago.
So we were talking a little about it a little bit earlier, but what are some of our pet peeves when it comes to smut?
We got such a long list already. But yeah, yeah, number one, dubious consent. Sucks. Don't do it. Stop. Thank you.
Please. One of mine is, where's the foreplay, people? If I had a dollar for every time I read a fanfic where the woman was already wet and ready after a peck on the cheek or something.
And it is literally that phrase, already wet and ready. Oh my God. Shut up.
How?
Ready for what? Like, what are you ready talking about?
That's not how it works. No. No.
Oh, I hate it.
And yes, if any smut that I read and enjoy has foreplay, has extended foreplay. Because anyways. So anything without it is a pet peeve.
Related to that, my favorite trope is teasing. I would read an entire book where they never actually had full-on sex and it was just foreplay. I would read that book, finish it, start again. Like, because it's so, like, you can tell when someone understands, like, how relationships work, how bodies work, like... And it's such a, like, great character building exercise if you can really think about. For me, like, how does your couple have sex, right? Which is one thing, right? Because then it's like, oh, well, then his leg is over there and da-da-da. But it's like, how does one part of the couple turn the other one on? Totally different conversation. And I love teasing.
I mean, and when you don't write foreplay, I mean, you're missing out on fun stuff like dirty talk.
Mm.
I need that. Give me that. I want it. That's a way that you can use sex to also, you know, show care, you know, give a little character development or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to skip all that fun stuff just to get to some pounding. You know what?
You know, and if you write the word pounding,
that's boring. For it. Yeah. 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 If you write the word insert, I don't want any inserting. there's got to be other ways to say it.
I'm gonna slide, like, put on my writerly hat here and say, sometimes, you know, you just run out of fucking words. All right, look, sometimes I don't know if I've ever written insert, but sometimes you just have a moment where you're like, I can't think of another way to say this.
Oh my god! In Tongues Fighting for Dominance, I still read that in stories, published and fan fiction.
I hate that so much.
That phrase needs to die. What's the other one? Relished. People use that word so much. Y'all are doing a lot of relishing out there, and I just feel like there's other words. But yeah, that's my that's some of my pet peeves. Go ahead.
Can I say one other thing I have an issue with?
Mm-hmm.
Is a story that takes too long to get to the sex, or that gives it to you too early, and so then it just feels like, okay, I don't know what any of this is. You know what I mean? Like, there's like a balance. Like, I think there's a use for having, we'll talk about TV's, right? But you can use, like, first page one, giving it to her good, and it's like, oh, okay. But usually that just feels kind of off, because there's nothing, like, I don't really, like, I'm an adult, I got a computer. Like, I don't really need, I don't really need this, you know what I mean? Like, I'm taking time to open my Kindle app to, like, read a story. Oh, man.
Fair point.
Meanwhile, I don't want to spend 200 pages to get to someone. Like, that's why I actually never liked romance. Like Bodice Rippers as a kid, because I was just like, this book is mad long, and the first 100 pages is like this woman trying to find herself and then flying to Scotland or some shit. I was like, no, I'm good.
So
there's something wrong with me.
What do you? What is it like for you reading erotica, but not being a part of any of the kink communities or anything like that? Because it seems like a lot of erotica these days automatically comes with, you know, a heavy discussion of kink, of BDSM, of DS, dominance, submission, etc.
So FYI, this is how we actually ended up at the title. It was so funny at the time.
It's still funny to you.
It really is, because I'm a child. So in the, like, initial conversation about this episode, we were like, what's it like to read erotica now when you're like vanilla? Meaning, you know, like, you're not in the kink community, and you know, yourself don't like a lot of kink, or any, in your own sexual preference.
Right.
And, so I think I was thinking about this in the lead up to today. I think part of the reason why I'm willing to read erotica now, as opposed to, earlier in my life, is, actually partially because of the kink as part of it. So I don't know how, like, serious we're gonna get about it, but, like, I'm a rape survivor, and so I do not like dubious consent. Like, that for me is just like a total no. And I love when you read good erotica because with a kink element, because consent has to be handled. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I think even though I'm not a part of the kink community, like, that small part of it appeals to me because it's what I want, period, you know? And also, you got to live a little, you know? I'm not trying to get, like, flogged, but, you know, go ahead and do you. Like, give me a whole bunch of scenes that I can read about it. Okay, so that's my serious answer and then my seriously not serious answer. But I think for me, those are the two poles. So
Right. I just, sometimes I read around it. Mm. Like, sometimes there's some scenes I really can't handle.
Mm. Like what? Like
that get you- too intense. Like anything that involves hitting.
Oh, okay. Anything, so you're not trying to read none of the flogging.
Well, yeah. Anything that, you know, if it's above a mild tap on the ass, then I have issues with it, I guess, because of my own background, just growing up in a violent household. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of read around the flogging, kind of, you know, peeked through my fingers. So anything that seems more violent than sexual to me. Mm-hmm. And that just may be the, you know, the prude in me talking, whatever. But yeah, I have issues with that. I kind of read around that and then move on to the next scene or whatever. And I try to avoid anything that, you know, says outright, okay, this is dealing with sadomasochism or something like that. I had to skip one of the books in the Fit series because of that. So that's me. I read around it, and you know, like I told Kat earlier, I haven't found like a perfect piece of erotica that, you know,
yeah,
you know, really hits the spot for me or anything like that. But I'm still looking.
Cindy D. Your Rex at Dust Daughter. She's like, I hate you, but also, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, slide, insert yourself in my DMs.
Because she would relish the opportunity.
Okay. Well, fine. There's a couple of, we were trying to think of all the little subgenres of erotica we can think of. We couldn't think of many, but, you know, there is a big monster porn trend popping off on Amazon, and I avoid that entirely because I don't think about fucking Bigfoot, and I don't want to read about it. Kat has a word on her heart about a certain subgenre, and I'm going to leave the floor to you.
I do, but let me just first handle the monster porn.
Okay.
I have actually read some monster porn.
Ooh.
And I have realized that there is maybe a distinction to be made. Maybe I'm trying to like make myself sound better. Because some of it I actually liked. But here's the distinction. There's monster porn that's like animals. I don't care what they tell you. It's a werewolf. That's some animal shit. So what you're really talking about is bestiality. That ain't for me. I'm just saying it. But now aliens, right? I'm considering it. That's all I'm saying.
What?
Aliens.
Considering aliens?
I'm just saying. I've read some good stuff. It's not bad. Anyway.
What about like angels come to Earth and all that kind of stuff? You know, angels and demons and stuff. Huh?
Are they coming in human form?
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, we, like, monster porn, like, yeah, the Bigfoot stuff, so not for me. Because all I see is, like, that's a dog. Like, or that's a bear. And actually, I swear there's a series that's, like, about bear shapeshifters. Wasn't someone live tweeting a series or live blogging a series on bears on Tumblr? I swear.
Possibly. Someone
was. Yeah. So I think there are the mini subgenres under monster porn. Some of it's not bad, but I guess it depends on your thing. Why did we include this? This is so messy. This would be like, I don't want to hear anything else from them anymore.
Hey. But go
Oh,
ahead.
God.
You have the
Okay.
floor.
So, what had happened was, I so there's a lot of, and actually, one of the commenters, someone's reply on the survey talked about this. But I swear, if you look at a lot of the like romance and erotica self-pub stuff on Amazon, a whole boatload of that is black women, white men fic. Like, so much of it. And I've read around it, and it's all like, relatively cheap. It varies on like the actual quality of the writing, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe like 2 years ago, I noticed that there's a whole bunch of like really gross. I call it black women, white men, Nazi fic, but it's essentially a black woman in a relationship with a neo-Nazi, a skinhead, a racist motorcycle gang. It's disgusting. And almost always the authors are black women. And I do not, for the life of me, understand why or what the fuck. It's so weird and it's disgusting. And it's like, I think my big problem is that like people attack like women who write interracial fic, black women who write interracial fic for like not liking black men and being self-haters, and that's wrong, right? I know women who write that, like I have written it, like I don't really care. But then it's really hard to defend that when you see this shit where you're like romancing a skinhead. What is that? Like, I don't understand it.
Is she supposed to change him with the
Yes.
power of her love
Her
and
pussy.
other
Yeah.
things? I didn't want to say it. You
I
said it
did.
for me.
Because that's the whole freaking premise. It's nothing else matters but how much this random white dude wanted to fuck this black woman. It's so gross.
Ew.
It's so gross. And there is a lot of it. Like, I if it were just like some here, some there, I'd be kind of like whatever. But I remember a few years on Tumblr, like that it was one of those, and there's a post running around of essentially a collection of stories like that. And I think there are I think there are stories with like racist white people and like men and women of color in other, but I haven't, other stories like that, but I haven't read anything. The only thing I've seen, and I haven't read any of this either, but I see it enough that it's just so gross. And it goes against everything that we've been talking about that we like. You know what I mean? Consent becomes a really huge issue for me if you're like writing a character, a black female character who's fucking a skinhead. Like I can't work that out in my head, how that is going to be a consensual relationship. That would make any sense.
And it's running dangerously close to like race play, which is another pet peeve I forgot to mention.
Me too. But I knew it
I'm
would come
not
up.
into that at fucking all.
No.
No, I don't want to reenact like a slave scene while we're fu the fuck? Who
No.
thinks of this stuff?
Well.
Anyway. Go on, say it. Go on, say it.
But see, this is the thing, right? Like, I would, when you were like, who thinks of this stuff? And I was gonna say, like, white men, but it's not. Like, it's not, or it's not just them, right? Like, the fact that there are actual, and I don't see this is the problem. No, I'm just gonna do it. I don't really care what anybody says. I cannot, for the life of me, care or understand why there are actual black women who get off on some white man pissing on them, yelling at them. Because there's also, like, by the way, like there is a very clear or many actual like video porn series that are exactly the same thing. And it's like, what the hell is happening? And why is this a thing that people are into? But then also, why is this a thing that porn stars feel comfortable doing? Like, that I can't understand. I just can't. And I don't, and I was going to say earlier when I was about to stop myself, I don't want to kink shame anyone, but I also kind of do. It's just so, it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm that, fucked up, but this is beyond.
Okay. Sorry, my brain shorted out. When you talked about people pissing on people, I was done then. So what?
Actually, I will say the water play, the water sports part is not my problem. It's when they're pissing on you, calling you racial slurs. That's where we have run into a problem.
That's basically race play. I want a nope right on out of that. Right. Yeah, I don't want to read anything like that. I don't want to be involved in anything. Why?
I had a friend who really wanted to know what that book looked like. The one about the skinhead, I think. And she was like, I will buy the book for you, but if you can you please, like, essentially she wanted me to read it and then text her as I was reading it. Why? And first of all, it sounded like I would have done it for anything else, honestly. Like, if it had been any other genre, I would have done it because it would have been funny. But it's just too far gone. Because I want to read these books and, like, novellas, and I want to be entertained and, like, you know, excited, you know? That does not excite me. That terrifies me. The idea that you could, and that's the thing too. It's like with the whole thing with me with consent and you with violence, right? Like, there is a point at which this stuff can really, like, tap into your greatest, like, you know, excitements, and then also your greatest fears. And the idea of me, like, waking up or getting into a relationship with someone who is racist and who is interested in race play, that is terrifying. I don't know how that's titillating to someone. That I would call the police as I ran away screaming. Like, that's, I can't.
I mean, I'm on the verge of tears now just thinking about it. I don't see how, but this is why I'm vanilla, because I just don't see how violence of any kind, racial, physical, whatever, violence and sex go together. They're not peanut butter and chocolate to me, but, you know, that's just me. So, wow. I did not know. I was not aware. I didn't. Wow. That's a lot.
And the sad part is you don't have to look hard for any of this. And, you know, if you buy, like, one novel that has, like, a black woman, white man pairing, you know, Amazon will start wrecking you all these other things. And this is how it got wrecked to me, is that it just fit, like, other stuff that I had been reading and downloading. And I was just like, what the hell is this? And it's for me, it's not the same genre at all. That this that this other story I'm reading happens to have a black woman and a white man as a pairing is not the same. It's this crazy, like, messy, fucked up shit that these other people are writing. And it confuses me that it's a black woman it's black women who's writing this stuff. And it confuses me that there's a black female market for it.
But that's the thing. I mean, I guess this is a weird way to get back to this, but we're both two black women who read erotica. Why do we read it? Is it just for entertainment? Because we can get that from any genre. Or are there other reasons why we read it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I guess I read it because, I mean, I like to read some of it. It's exciting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's escapism. But also, I like to read erotica with Black women characters because it's not as prevalent as the other stuff out there. And I like to see women like me getting loved on.
Yeah.
And having good sex and stuff like that. That is affirming. Whether they're in a partnership with another Black man, with a Black man, another woman of color, with two I don't know, two white dudes, whatever.
We're also going to have sex with one another.
Mandatory. it doesnesn't matter who's doing it. As long as they're, loving her and in a healthy way that respects her. And, if she's getting, some bomb sex, that just makes me happy. That's my pleasure.
Said your old auntie with a wine sister in her hand.
That's my pleasure. So, I guess that's why I read it. Actually seek out this other stuff, that goes against all the reasons why I want to read it.
I think for me, it's an extension of, so I was telling a friend yesterday when we were talking about, movies that are coming out that I'm like not going to see that are really popular. I'm not going to put no movie on blast, but there is a movie coming out at some point this year that everyone I know is hype about and I'm going to not watch for a moral reason. But as I was telling her, the only thing I can control really is what media I decide to engage with. And so maybe like 7-8 years ago, I really started limiting the amount of white media that I engage with. And I started looking for media with, in particular, Black women, that's Black women centered, or at least Black centered, and at least is sort of centered on people of color. And so, like, reading erotica is just an extension of that. Like, I like to read, I like fiction. So, I like romance in particular. So I'm going to read things that center Black women and that center women of color. And yeah, I mean, I ain't getting none. So if I can be reading about a woman who looks like me, who is, God bless.
Yes. I'm happy for you, sister. Share her life.
I also think I just like erotica because I didn't grow up in a really repressive household by any means, but I don't like the ways that it's really easy to ignore like women's pleasure. Like, and this is like the intellectual in me anyway, like, I have like a background in women's studies and I really think about this all the time. Like, are we centering like women's pleasure as like a healthy part of their life? Whatever brings them pleasure, which isn't just sex, right? But are we really thinking about ways that like women are happy, things that like give them pleasure, things that help them give pleasure, whatever. So like sex is one of those ways. I'm going to read about it. And one day before 2085, I'm going to have some again. So look, I live in a really terrible place right now, y'all. This is cathartic. So,
But yeah, but that's a good point. There's very, like, the porn industry is definitely not really concerned about a woman's pleasure.
Especially not a Black woman. There's this book. There's this book written by one of my best friend's former mentor about Black women in porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot for life of me think of the name of it. Shoot, what is her name? Okay, you keep talking, I'll find it.
Okay, but they're not centered, any woman's pleasure is not centered in the mainstream porn industry. And then when you go to romances and erotica, you see the women that are centered in that are mainly white. And in a lot of them, they're painted as submissive, so they're actually giving up their power to give pleasure to the guy, so it all turns back around to not being centered around them again. So then you have to look farther to find anything that's actually centered on a black woman, mm-hmm. or a woman of color in their pleasure. And I mean, even like you said, it's not just about sex. I mean, every day on social media, we see somebody trying to rain on black women's parades when we want to celebrate something, when we want to be happy Beyonce's about
iconic twins. Sorry.
Thank you. Or Serena winning a Grand Slam while she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Serena being pregnant at all and engaged to be married to a billionaire or somebody. The co-founder of Reddit or whatever. I mean, anytime that we want to celebrate another black woman's happiness, mm-hmm. there's somebody on social media ready to basically defecate on it with some really unsound quote unquote logic. Mm-hmm. Mainstream media is really not here for black women's pleasure, but I am, and I want to read about it. And if people want to write about it in a healthy way, I want to read it. So,
amen.
Did you find it?
I did. So the book is called A Taste for Brown Sugar, Black Women in Pornography by Murray Miller Young. Yeah, it got like a lot of buzz when it came out. It is one of those books that's on my list of things to read at some point. But she does archival research and interviews with black women in particular who've been in porn. And from what I've heard about it from other scholars and from my best friend who was her student, like, it's supposed to be amazing. And it's one of those things, again, we don't talk about, right? Because, you know, respectability politics, like, we don't want to have a conversation about porn. Certainly not black people don't want to have a conversation about porn, even though
they watch it
and then they start picking up on those really terrible, I mean, no, I'm not gonna tell nobody that, but I mean, you sort of pick up if you don't understand it, or you aren't being careful, or you aren't being selective, you can very clearly pick up on some really old school, like, and when I say old school, I mean like straight up chattel slavery level shit that is being just institutionalized in the ways that you engage with pleasure. And it's just so fucked up. And so then you get Nazi fic or whatever, and it's just disgusting. But anyway, I heard the book is great. It's called A Taste for Brown Sugar.
Okay. And well, we can put that on the syllabus for this episode. That's great. So, is there anything you want to say about smut fanfic in particular? Because we talked a lot about published and self-published erotica.
I love it. Period. He's like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do with that?
Okay. I guess we better keep it there, because if...
No, I have so much else to say, actually.
Okay, because if we get into, you know, fake fanfic and fandom, we could be here all day, though.
Let's do it, though.
Okay.
Okay. Hit it. So my favorite type of fanfic to write usually is smut.
Like, amen.
I don't write that much anymore. I don't write that much fanfic. But when I do write, I'm either writing some like real sad emotional shit, or I'm writing my favorite characters fucking. That's it.
Shout out to that Luke Cage one you did with
Woo! That was good.
With Mariah and Shades. Mm-hmm. Magnificent.
Wasn't that for you?
Was it? I will take it. I will take it. That was beautiful.
I still remember it. A lot of my AO3 like notifications are usually about my smut fic, So like, there's that like West Island one with Eddie that I literally get notifications on that pretty much every month, but I get my most notifications when a new season premieres. And right after a finale.
Oh my God. They want Eddie back.
They want Eddie back. And literally I will get like a quest saying, hey, can you write a part two? And I'm like, no. Because they killed Eddie.
But yes, there was so much to love about the Mariah Shades fic. Like, first of all, face sitting. Second of all, plotting World Dominion. Wow, face sitting. And that's all I'm going to give you.
It was a good one. Like, we're going to put it in the show notes.
Mwah. Yes, that's magnificent.
This is so terrible.
But yeah. You know, depending on which fandom you're in, you can get, you know, varying ranges of quality and stuff like that. Yeah. I guess, you know what? Maybe the smaller the fandom, the better the fanfic.
Yep.
Do you think?
I agree with that.
Okay.
I feel like you get the best, with some exceptions, I think you get the best fan fiction on a show nobody watches. Like irregardless of smut, just the best fan fiction you mm-hmm. get when no one watches a show or in its first season. That's it. Like, after mm-hmm. that, it just spirals. So there are some shows I watch I'll never read fan fiction for again. And then there are some shows, but I mean, it's a double-edged sword, because if no one's watching it, like, the amount of fan fiction, like, I've yet to see, I love Into the Badlands, and I don't think I've seen any Sunnyvale smut.
Which is a shame. Because they have a whole ass baby, so how'd they get it?
And there's so much to play with there that it really frustrates me that I haven't seen it. I haven't looked recently, but the last time I looked, there were like 3 or 4 stories on Archive of Our Own, and that's it. Scandal had some bomb, amazing fan fiction season 1, but it's all OLITs, and so now you're just like, never mind.
Yeah. And some of it's vaguely, what is it? Terry is the other thing they think?
Vaguely my ass.
Yeah, okay.
Literally all of it is. And,
and that's gross on a whole other level. Yeah.
And I told you I read a story that was literally that. Like a self. I'm not going to name anything, obviously, but I read a story that had a really great premise. And so I bought it and I was like so excited to read it. And I must have gotten 30 pages in. And I realized immediately that this story in some incarnation used to be a Scandal fic, but also might have just been a Terry fic. It was a hot mess. And I was riveted. I literally was just, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like a train wreck amazing. It was written really well though, FYI, but it was like that whole like real people fic part like totally ruined it for me, so it was a bit much.
But you know, there's things like rare pairs within a very popular fandom. Mm-hmm. Or there's these weird ships that really make no sense. Hey, Raylo.
Oh, God.
That suddenly become really popular because, breaking news, fandoms are racist.
Oh, my God.
And, and you see all of this really, really gross stuff. That's also non-consensual.
I was actually going to say
consensual.
I feel like if It's a rare pair, but it's one of those rare pairs or non-canon ships with where they're trying to put together two white men in particular, or just white people in general. I feel like those are the spaces where you find all of that dubious consent.
Lord, they just skip all over. They cherry pick all over canon just to put two white dudes together. I'm over it.
Which is why so much of it's borderline rape, in my opinion. Because it's like literally canon telling you this will never happen. And it's like, no, well, to make it happen, like, you know, uses his Jedi mind field or whatever, like, or he hypnotizes her, or he pretends to be someone else. Or if it's two dudes, there's always that level where it's almost always dominant submissive, and two, the submissive is essentially being raped. Always, always, always. And it's so fucked up.
So gross. Okay. So, but the good smut fanfic,
is usually canon. Have you noticed that? A lot of the like best, in my opinion, a lot of the best smut is like canon. Like there's some really good Rashone smut that I've read just floating around.
Bim Adewunmi was talking about Rashone smut on
for colored nerds.
Yeah.
Go listen to that because she is not wrong.
And she's like, most of it's written by Black women, and she is absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the other fandoms? West Island has really great smut,
and I think it's because the actual ship on the show has such a great chemistry, and they have great banter.
Yeah,
like I can just. It's kind of like, you know, the Spencer Tracy movies back in the day that had all that witty banter between the leads.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, West Allen reminds me of that. I could just read a fic with them, like, going back and forth or just geeking out about something or just talking about something. And then, you know, if they want a bone afterwards, then, you know, cherry on top. So
my absolute favorite fandom ever, at least for a period of time, was Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be some really great Cravia smut. Which is Crixus and Navia. So I also liked it because it was two POC together. Mm-hmm. There used to be some really great smut because it was like total like gladiator badass and his, at least in the early stages, like weak, like, you know, physically weak or weaker partner and like good stuff. But then after she became a lot more physically stronger, still great. So first of all, y'all should watch Spartacus because Cravia is everything. And second of all, that smut though. Exactly. Magnifique.
That's gonna be another show title. But yeah, we're not going to talk about the MCU.
Oh, more smut out there, period.
That's where you get a lot of the irresponsible shit.
Yep.
Because they want to put Steve and Tony together when James Rhodes is right there.
He is a person who Tony would literally... So you know what? So let me tell you something about myself before I go on this rant. I cannot stand Tony Stark. I think he is the worst character ever in the MCU. I just don't get it. And I'm not one of those people who likes him when he's with Pepper, because I also don't like Pepper. I can only tolerate Tony Stark when he is looking deeply, lovingly, emotionally into his boyfriend's eyes. And his boyfriend is James motherfucking Rhodey Rhodes. played in particular by Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
Yes. Only Don Cheadle, because the way that they'd be looking at each other is really straight up beautiful, man. Thank you.
Yes. Moment of silence. Yes, for that. That's
watch me, yeah. Watch me go write some Tony and Rhodey fic. Like, I need to get my life together.
But, yeah, or they'll, you know, ignore, or they'll do everything to put Steve and Bucky together. Yeah, Steve is just the MCU bicycle, I think. They'll do anything to put Steve and Bucky together when Sam Wilson is standing right there with those arms of awesomeness, and he can fly. And anyway, don't get me started on Sam Wilson.
I feel like I'm okay with like Tony or I'm okay with Steve and Bucky, but because that's like a longer relationship or a long relationship as well. But when they do so in a way where they specifically write out, oh my God.
Sam.
Thank you. Sorry. It's the end mm-hmm. of the semester, y'all. But when they specifically write out Sam, I get really pissed. But my actual biggest pet peeve, I'd rather they just write Steve and Bucky than write Steve, Bucky, and Sam. Because every time they do that, they always make Sam like essentially a workhorse. Like he never gets pleasure really, or it's incidental, right? But he's there to like turn on Steve and Bucky, and he's there to like get them off. And then like incidentally, he gets off himself.
So he's the fluffer.
He's the fluffer. It's so fresh. I would rather he just not be there than for them to write him in that particular way.
The whole fandom is a dumpster fire, and it translates to a lot of the fics. So
my Tumblr URL used to be fuck the MCU. I feel really strongly about that place being a hellscape.
It is. And I don't see how it's gonna get much better, even with all of the black people in Black Panther and, Tessa Thompson and Thor Ragnarok and all of this other stuff. So do you have any other recommendations? Well, we've given some recommendations throughout the show, but any others that we want to give out at the end here?
We talked about Alicia Rye.
Rebecca Weatherspoon.
Yeah, Rebecca Weatherspoon. Her new one, Haven, is out. I feel like we were a little like split on this. Like what worked for one of us didn't necessarily work for the other one, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I actually really liked Haven, which is her new book. But hands down, I think her best book is the third book in the Fit series, which is called Tamed. I think that's like straight up self insert. It's amazing.
Is that the one with the geek girl, Kiara? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved her.
Mm-hmm. That's like best character, best character, best story. And if you're looking for like multicultural without a white, or like multicultural as opposed to interracial, like that's a good one to go to. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm literally scrolling through.
Should I recommend
BSA? Oh God. Do it so we can talk about it. Let's go.
There is an author of erotica who happens to be a woman of color. Her name is Kimberly K. Terry. She's written a number of erotic novels. Riding the Rails, Sweet Like Candy. There are some other ones that she's written. But she also wrote, co-wrote this anthology of three stories with, I think, Angie Daniels and another lady whose name I've forgotten. And the title is called
Here we go.
Big spankable asses.
Big spankable asses.
I'm sorry.
She really wrecked this to me, y'all. She was like, go ahead and read a book called Big Spankable Asses.
I'm just, hey, pickings are slim. Pickings are slim.
I will say though, part of why I understand though, like why you would wreck it. And when I looked at the I think I told you, when I looked at when it was published, I was like, oh, if I had read it when it was new, I would have been all about it. Cause it was like everything in that Zane era, like I wanted to read it all. And even if it wasn't good, oh my God, Zane. I don't even know how we didn't talk about her, to be honest with you.
You're trying to be kind, I think.
Oh, child. but when I was like 16 through like 19, 20, like I wanted to read it all. And it was as, I don't want to say vulgar, because that's not really what I mean, but as like outlandish as it could get, I was like about it. But I'm old now. I don't feel the same way. So it like, when she wrecked this book to me, I was like, what the hell? And then on page motherfucking one, there was pounding, there was the dude not knowing what the hell's going on. I was like, I was stressed. Like,
yeah, it was like the book starts off with just really bad sex.
Bad.
Which is not what you come to erotica for.
No. I'm so stressed, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. But this is one of the first books that I read when I was getting back into erotica. And I don't know, it was at the bottom of my Kindle collection. So I thought I would share it with you.
And friendship.
Out of love and solidarity.
I think that really tested our friendship. Like, there was a moment where I was like, is it time to move on?
Yes. So,
no, I would also recommend, again, they're not, Kit Rocha, the two authors are white women, but they have like multicultural characters throughout their series. And I haven't read the whole Beyond series, but my favorite, and that's the one with the woman and the two men, is called Beyond Jealousy. And I think it's one of their best books. So I would highly recommend that. And their new one, or one they have coming out at some point this year, is called Deacon, and it has a black female lead. And I'm very excited for that. Can't wreck it. I don't know if it'll be good, but keep your eyes out, I guess.
Okay. I don't know if I have any more wrecks that come to mind. Because nothing can compare to Big Spankable Asses, but, so, with that, what we're going to do is close the show. you can reach Kat at xrecluse. I'm at Dust Daughter. If you want to write to us about the show, you can hit us up at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. We also have a Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. And, hit us up. You can also review us on the Black Girl Squee iTunes page if you so choose. And until next time, bye.
I'm so mad.